Toad Eye Service podcast. My name is Adam L. Fosley, and I'm the host of this podcast. Today, I am joined by Taylor Graham for a remote podcast. But before we get into our wonderful conversation, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. The Toad Eye Service podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, a lot of the podcast platforms. We would love to hear from you with your thoughts, a question, or a submission to the podcast. So go to anchor.fm/toad, that's T-O-A-D, to send in your voice message. For more on what Toad Eye Service does, go to toadeyeservice.com today and sign up for our free email list. Our sponsor for today's episode is Fexy Global, a startup content creation business that is extremely well-priced services. They make logos, edit videos, and more for pretty cheap. You can check them out and get your professional-looking graphics at fexi.ga, F-E-X-I. Okay, so Taylor, we've probably known each other for 6 or 7 years by now, maybe 8. Yeah. And I know this podcast is supposed to be tech-centered, but why don't you just tell us about what happened with our school district in terms of COVID-19 and the closure and distance learning?
Sure. Well, first I'd like to say thanks so much for having me. This is like super awesome. I'm really excited to talk with you. So, so we closed down March 16th or 13th. I think it's 16th. And we didn't know if we were going to come back or not, because they said that it was going to be 2 weeks, and then we were going to see if the cases got worse or they got better. So we were going to see what happened there, and then we'd know if we were going to go back to school or whatnot. And then, yeah, so I don't know. I was nervous. I was like, is this my last day of seventh grade? Scary.
Yeah, well, originally, it was like they were planning to do a 3-week closure, and then it was a month, and then it was like, okay, we're definitely not going back, but we were just sort of stuck with nothing to
do. Yeah, that first month was just hell.
Yeah, I mean, it was a month of pretty much nothing, not a lot of communication. So that was hard, and I think they were trying to figure out what to do in terms of, you know, getting the technology set up to learn from home.
And they're still trying to do that with the fall. Like, they don't know what they're going to do for the fall. So, yeah.
I think it'll be very different, I think.
Definitely not back to normal, that's for sure.
But them figuring out Zoom and having those platforms available will allow them to get you know, make it more seamless for the transition into next year, and make it easier for them to have not have all the students at school on one day.
And even before we went into remote learning, like the few days before school ended, they were like, okay guys, we know we're gonna do distance learning, so we're gonna get ready for it. And so we did a whole day of like distance learning in classroom. Like, we had our computers and the teachers just put assignments on Google Classroom, and then we like didn't ask them for help. We need to email them or whatever. So yeah, I think we were pretty ready, but then it was a month of nothing.
Yeah, and our school and schools in San Francisco, I think, are, or at least the public schools, are fairly sort of teched out, if that's a if you could say that. I mean, we were already using a lot of computers, and we already knew how to access Google Classroom and things like that.
Totally, yeah.
But I want to touch on the school's technology use before this pandemic really hit, and what does a school look like now with so much technology incorporated? Like, what? How do we explain how we learn today in a middle school or high school, elementary school, even whatever it is, to adults?
Well, okay, so, wow, that's a good question. We have 3 classes a day, and they're online. And so basically, we have our first period, second period, and third period. Obviously, this isn't for elementary school, but maybe for high school or middle school. And then So we have our 3 periods a day, and they can be up to an hour and 30 minutes long. Some teachers take 30 minutes, and some teachers take the whole hour and a half. And then on Tuesday, we have our 4th, 5th, and 6th period classes, and they assign us work. That's usually, I don't know about your classes, Adam, but mine were usually due by Friday. Like, the whole packet was due by Friday.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, we could just ask teachers questions. And then Thursday and Friday was, like, small groups of the class. So, like, your teachers would put you in small groups, and if you needed to ask questions or talk to the teacher about something, that's when you would do that. And it would bring your classes down to a smaller size so that the teachers could really focus on you if you needed help. And I thought that was really smart of them to do that. So, yeah.
And I think what we have to understand is this wasn't like, okay, they're going to sort of email us and help us learn from home. We were really on Zoom doing everything on a computer, and they used, I mean, a lot of different tools to help make that the classes engaging. I don't know if you want to explain. I would love to explain to the listeners sort of what Kahoot was and how they used
that.
Well,
Kahoot we also did in the classroom, but yeah, you can also explain Kahoot.
Yeah, so that was probably one of my favorite ways, and it's fun too that they engaged us, and it helps you understand how they really are able to still teach the students in an effective way on when the classes are all on like video conferences or Zoom. And so Kahoot essentially allows the teacher to make questions or choose from questions. Then we're on Zoom looking at their screen while using one of our own devices to answer those questions, and then compete on if we get those questions correct and how quickly we answer them. And so that's just sort of one way that they're able to continue to get everyone to participate, even when you're just staring at the computer screen.
I think that was a great way to engage everyone, because everyone loves Kahoot, and it was just a fun way to also learn, but also like see everyone, and yeah, it was great.
I'm wondering if you found the approach the school used combined with the online classes to be effective, and or did you feel that we were still able to learn efficiently online? I mean, it was inevitable that the school year would be slowed down and we wouldn't get to learn all the curriculum, but did you find the class effective?
That's a good question. See, I think we could have had more time in the classes, like instead of Wednesday just being that day where you can just basically Wednesday I didn't do anything. So I think more time like on Zoom would have been a lot more effective, because on Zoom the teachers were talking and it was like a classroom but not a classroom. Like, see, we went from 48 minutes in class every day, in each class every day, to an hour and a half, 2 days a week in each class. And I just thought that was, like, I think they could have done that better in spending more time in Zoom rather than just, you know, all that work and then not all that.
Yeah, I mean, they come out and say, like, before it started, okay, it appears an hour and a half on Zoom, but it was really typically, I mean, I know in some classes, like when we did the Kahoots, that took up more time, but it was usually only 20 or 30 minutes on the Zoom class, and that was, for some people, that was only 2 days a week. I mean, a lot of the classes, it wasn't like a full schedule where you could efficiently continue to learn, continue to be engaged. It was a lot of those classes only met once a week and really were only check-in sessions. And I think that connects back to the fact that we have seen a decrease in the amount of actual, when we were just in regular school, like in-person schooling, there were teachers who had most of the work online and didn't even explain a lot of it.
I definitely agree. There was a lot of things that teachers, I wish they had more time to explain or more time to, like, help you. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just to talk about the technical side of digital learning for a second, what did you find to be the best and worst parts of classes through Zoom? What annoyed you and or didn't annoy you?
Well, one of the things that did annoy me on Zoom was that, I don't know, this might seem kind of silly, but a lot of my friends didn't put their cameras on. And I just missed that because, like, I like seeing their faces and I wanted to see them. So that was annoying. I don't know if that was the answer you're looking for, but that was definitely something that annoyed me.
Yeah, I think it, one of the good things is classes, you know, in on our classes in person, it's not only about learning. I mean, it's about this social yes. connection we get, you know, keeping up with people, talking with other people our own age about current issues and things we're interested in. And so, yeah, I would agree that when when the cameras were cut off, there were a lot of people who didn't come on Zoom or the video conference chat platform with their cameras on. And it just became this sort of watching the teacher figure out how to use the Zoom platform and then teach their class and then go and find the assignment behind yeah. the screen, you know?
There was not a lot of they could have just been like sending emails and doing it on Google Classroom. They didn't have to explain it on Zoom. And I feel like that defeated the whole point of them doing the Zoom classes and the Zoom sessions, because if the Zoom sessions don't really help, then what's the point in doing Zoom if you're just going to be like, okay, the class is going to be 30 minutes here, I'm just going to explain the assignments.
Yeah. And I have to say that I feel like the Zoom wasn't particularly motivating. Like, the classes weren't, there were people who were, and I don't want to call anyone out on this podcast, even if they're not listening to it. But there were people, you know, in bed who didn't really get up, who were just joining, who, you know, their computers were dead. They didn't know how to do it 3 weeks in when we were trying to explain it to them. So I think it was less motivating to learn online.
I definitely agree. I'm guilty of wearing my PJs maybe a couple times on Zoom. But yeah, I never skipped one of my Zoom classes, but I talked to some people, and again, I'm not going to call any names out or anything. I did, like, people just weren't seem motivated. Like, I was just, you know, some people were just skipping classes and not doing the work and just being like, well, I'll pass anyway because it's a pass or fail and they can't really give me a fail, so I'm going to pass anyway. So I think that just was just yeah. like, wow, okay. And even though I did all the work and it was just boring and the worst ever, it was important to keep that foundation of learning and doing the work and having that responsibility, because never ever in our life had we had so much responsibility for our own education. Like, we could have just skipped classes, really good grade, like a pass or whatever, but that just like defeated the whole purpose of the Zoom stuff like that.
Where is there room for schools to grow in terms of how they use technology to teach? Is it used well in schools, and how can, you know, what could our school do differently learning from this experience?
I think they could definitely do a lot more time on the Zoom, like with the teachers and students, because I think going from an environment where you're in like classrooms all day with 30 to 40 people, and like you sit next to them, you have lunch with them, everything. And then just going from that to Zoom where no one turns on their camera and the teacher just says instructions and it's all like independent work. I think they definitely could have done something like more time on the Zoom and more effective Zoom sessions. So it's not just the teacher explaining or taking a lot of time just explaining assignment rather than just like doing fun activities, maybe like Kahoot or some other activity like that.
Yeah, definitely. They could make, make the more efficient use of their time and try to engage students more, have more time where they're where everyone is participating. I mean, it is hard to do that on Zoom, but it's all right. And I also know that you were gonna do a virtual camps. So I just want to ask you, what's that like, or what is the plan for these camps and how they will operate? Why you wanted to do a virtual camp, and what about a
Yeah,
social
so I
distance
know
camp?
my mom signed me up for a couple camps, and I actually had a camp that ended yesterday. It was from Monday to Friday, and it was a cooking camp. And I mean, cooking is pretty easy to do virtually because it's basically just watching a video of someone else do it, like live while you follow along, and you can like ask them questions or whatever. And my mom also signed me up for a lacrosse camp in the end of June, but that's not virtual. It's a camp like in, it's outside and everyone will be social distanced, all that stuff, but it's not virtual. And I think how that's gonna work is I'm not sure if everyone will be wearing masks, but they'll definitely make small groups, like boys, girls are separated and different age groups are separated, so I think it's going to be very small groups and not a lot of in contact, you know, because that game, there's not a lot of, I mean, you still get close, but I still don't know how it's going to work, but they're definitely not going to like feed you lunch or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And that's good.
Are you
That's
doing any
good.
camps?
I'm not doing any myself. But I think the virtual camp idea is interesting. And I mean, some of them I've seen have been pretty expensive, but they adapted quickly and do the virtual camps and
Yeah, I
social
know
distance
Sacred
camps.
Heart High
So,
School is doing a lot of virtual camps, like writing camps. And I guess it's basically just like we do at school. Like you go on doc, the teacher gives you an assignment or like a template of what you're supposed to do. And then you go do it. And then you go back to Zoom and they give you feedback and all that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. That's good. That's good. And yeah, I mean, we're in a good time to be utilizing technology to our advantage,
Yeah, like what did they
for
do in the
sure.
19 whatever pandemic? They didn't have computers.
Yeah. And
Definitely.
we're much more
I
advanced
think we'll
now,
be more
so
ready for
it's
if
good.
this does happen again. Because a lot of people say there's going to be a wave.
Yeah, and if
Yeah.
and when a second
So,
wave, and for
yeah.
next
I
year for
think
school.
they will be more prepared. I mean, I hope they're more prepared. Time.
So thank you so much, Taylor, for speaking with me today. Make sure to subscribe to the Toad Isomers podcast on your favorite listening platform. Taylor told me that you can get it on Apple Podcasts for free. So yeah, you can just search Toad Isomers podcast in the Apple Podcasts app, and it comes pre-downloaded, so you don't have to do much. All the episodes are free, and you can visit us at toadiservice.com. We will see you next time for our Monday morning episode. Toad Eye Service podcast is produced by Toad Eye Service. You can visit us at toadeyeservice.com and click enter website to view our podcast, or submit a voice message at anchor.fm/toad. If you are interested in being a guest, we accept everyone on our show. You can email us at hellotoadeyeservice@gmail.com for this opportunity, and you can also email us if you're interested in sponsoring our show for free. Thank you so much.